Hello, this is Leah from Creative Every Day, and today I'm speaking to Anne Parris, author of Standing at Water's Edge, Moving Past Fear, Blocks, and Pitfalls to Discover the Power of Creative Immersion. Welcome, Anne. Thank you for speaking with me today.
Hi, Leah. Thanks for having me.
I was looking over your book again because I read it several months ago, and so I was looking over it again this week, and I noticed that it is just covered with underlines and circles, and I wrote all over the margins, I dog your pages. So it spoke to me, which is a great thing.
It's good to hear. That was my hope, really, was that, you know, to write something that artists and, well, really anybody, especially who's, you know, struggling with doing something creative, that they could resonate with the ideas. I really hope to kind of write about what artists do think and feel throughout the process, and not so much, you know, prescriptions of what to think and feel.
Yeah.
So it's nice that you connected with it.
Absolutely. I was hoping that for the benefit of people listening who haven't read the book, if you could talk a bit about what creative immersion means.
Well, the idea of creative immersion, I think, is one that most people can relate to, feeling in the zone or, you know, in the flow, where you're just totally engaged, you're totally in connection with the art form, with the words or music or notes or whatever you're doing, and it's usually in that state that you're not thinking about, you know, evaluating it or editing it, and often we kind of lose our sense of time and what's going on around us, that we're just totally immersed with the art form.
Yeah. And what are some ways artists can more easily immerse into their own creativity?
Well, I think that this is, you know, the challenge is how do you allow yourself to kind of dive into that state of complete immersion. Sometimes it's easier than others. And what's typically talked about, I think, is getting a discipline, you know, setting aside a time to sit down and do it. And I think that, you know, getting rituals, those can all be helpful things, but that at the heart of it, it can be a pretty scary process. It's filled with the unknown. We don't know, you know, where that immersion is going to take us, or if anything will come out creatively in that immersive state. And so I've really come to find that it's our sense of solid connections with others that gives us the courage and the strength to, you know, take that leap into immersion, that I really think that we find our strength from people who appreciate what we're doing, people that get it and you know what the struggles are, what the fears are, what the hopes are, and then from those that inspire us and our heroes that you know, we admire and that we can immerse in their art, I think often will our own, you know, propel us into our own creativity.
Yeah, I loved how in the first chapter you wrote, creativity reaches for connection. And it made me think, because I work from home and I spend a lot of time alone, and I generally like it. I'm a really introverted person. But I also spend a lot of time sharing my art online, and I create these online communities through doing challenges, November's challenges, Art Every Day Month, where I challenge people to create something every day and share it. And I love connecting online in this way, and it's become a really important part of my creative life. So when you talked about the need for connection, I realized I was getting a lot of it through that way.
It's wonderful, isn't it? The online world has really given us so many more opportunities to connect with people. And when I, you know, that quote about creativity reaching for connection, I think that, you know, more than just self-expression, I mean, our art usually, you know, is a self-expressive thing, but I think that even beyond expression, that our hope is that it will be seen, it will be heard, it will impact other people, that it really will be a way of connecting with other people in the end.
Yeah, it is a part of it. I mean, I think I would create regardless of whether or not I shared it with anyone, but mm-hmm. It is, the connection is important.
Yeah, I think that you allude to, you know, the intensely gratifying, fulfilling experience of immersing into our work or creative activity just for its own sake. That even there, that we're connecting with the medium, with whatever we're creating, and it's almost becomes a relationship, you know, between us and the art form, and that often we can feel like the art form is as much guiding us as we are creating it. And it becomes a very mutual kind of experience, and you know, those times where we can really immerse, you know, I think we, you know, it strengthens us and enlivens us, and really gives us a sense of doing something purposeful and meaningful and gratifying.
Even if
you don't show it to anybody.
Absolutely. Yeah, as you were talking, I was thinking about how it's also, sometimes I find that I'm also connecting with my sense of spirituality when I create. I think there's a connection there that happens to a different kind of thing. But
but spirituality, you know, being another whole way to feel immersed, and I think there, you know, a lot of things we can do in life where we can get that immersive experience, you know, of play or of appreciating someone else's art, immersing into that, or learning, or spirituality. That it's more about, you know, this inner experience of kind of giving yourself over to the connection, and how you know, enlivening really that is.
Yeah. Play is really important for me as well, and I love that you spoke to that in your book. Could you talk a bit about why you think play is important?
Probably that play is that experience of, again, like totally being in the moment and not having this self-observing eye, you know, that kind of can inhibit you, and, you know, you start to think, do I look stupid, or is, you know, where you can just you know, enjoy that playful part of yourself, and you know, usually that's in connection with someone else or something else, and to allow ourselves to really play, I think we have to you know, put our rational grown-up selves aside and just let go.
Yeah, the letting go is important, and I found that, like, the play really helps me quiet the inner critic part of my mind, and you know, it helps me just to get into the immersive state. You know, once I'm in, it's all good, but once just getting in,
it's getting
play
in is hard. Yeah, and I think, you know, people can so easily, you know, I hear, you know, so many people just being self-critical and blaming themselves and beating up on themselves. Why can't I do this? I should be able to do this. But really, you know, there's a lot of potential fears involved that keep us from taking that leap, and we tend to, you know, put it off and procrastinate, and it can be a daily challenge to you know, to go into that space.
Yeah, I loved when you talked about how a major task for artists moving through the creative process is finding a way to be more empathic with your own experience. And I wrote gentleness in the margins because this is something I write about a lot, and I try and teach other creative people, and that sounds very important to my own process because artists can be so hard on themselves. How do you think we can learn to be more kind and understanding with ourselves as we create?
I think an awareness of, you know, really trying to understand the reasonableness of the fears, you know, that often it's a fear of letting go, a fear of the unknown, a fear of maybe some of the emotions that may surface. Fears of not being good enough, or even fears of success, or fears of being rejected or humiliated. There's so many fears that can surface when we face this edge, and that if we can appreciate those fears and see them as making sense in our life, and that we can, you know, have more empathy for ourselves, that this is a difficult thing to do. And again, it's where I, you know, often reaching for, you know, connections either, you know, in real life or online or even in imagination to call up, you know, supportive or memories of supportive people, imagining an appreciative audience for what we're doing often will give us that strength to go ahead and risk all of the potential things that we fear happening.
Yeah, I can see that. A lot of people talk to me about feeling blocked or stuck or in a rut. What are some of the ways you feel like creative people can overcome this feeling of being blocked?
I think, you know, that first would be, an internal awareness of what some of the fears may be, and to try to become more clear about just what fears you're struggling with. And again, I would say reaching for connection either in reality or in imagination to, you know, hear someone, you know, be appreciative of your work or be enthusiastic about an idea that you have, or in immersing into someone else's art, listening to some of your favorite music, or going to an art gallery and appreciating the art there, that often that will spark our own creative juices and make us feel like we want to dive in there too. And I guess the main overarching thought that I'd have would be to make immersion the goal, that experience of immersion, rather than to focus on productivity or getting, you know, accomplishing something, to sit down, you know, with a feeling of curiosity. I'm gonna open up to this. I'm going to allow whatever comes to come, and really to be kind of curious, like an audience member of a show that's about to begin. You know, it's almost like where is this going to take me, and where is the art going to take me?
Yeah, so it's focusing on the product and on the process rather, and letting go of the end result and just being in the moment.
Yeah.
Lovely. When you talk about connections and creating connections with people, what are some ways people can develop more gratifying connections with the people in their lives?
Boy, that's a great question. I think, you know, that we all fundamentally have a need to feel special and to feel safe and to feel understood. And that if, you know, that those are primary human needs, and that they're okay, and that if we can be aware of what we're needing and, you know, be better able to ask for it, you know, that I really need to hear some positive feedback here on this, or, you know, I really need to hear that you like this, and to ask directly for some of those things. And then to also to offer those kinds of things to other people can, you know, not only be gratifying for us to feel that we're, you know, helping someone else along, but that we're more likely to have it reciprocated then for us. So that if we're needing, you know, to feel special or acknowledged, maybe to take another person under your wing and try to mentor them and be that for them. The mutuality in the relationships helps create that in the relationship.
Absolutely. And what do you hope that readers will get from your book?
Well, I really hope that along those lines that the reader would be walk away from the book feeling appreciated and understood, less alone, that these are very human fundamental needs, and really at whether or not you are just contemplating beginning some kind of creative work, or you're a professional artist, you know, the whole spectrum, that we all still have those needs, and that it's okay, and that this is how everyone feels, that you're not alone, and it isn't about, you know, you being weak or deficient in some way. And so that I hope that people walk away from the book feeling inspired and more able to immerse into their own creativity.
Great. Well, I definitely got that from reading your book, so thank you very much. And do you have a website that people can find you at, Anne?
Yes, it's www.annparis.com, and it's Anne with an E, and Paris like the city.
Beautiful. And I'll have that up on the website, on my blog as well, so people can find you and click right over. And also find your book. So thank you so much, Anne, for speaking with me today about creative immersion. It was a real pleasure.
Thanks, Leah. Okay, bye.